A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello and welcome to episode 59 of Internet Marketing. We're very excited because this is the first episode of our weekly podcast, isn't it, Kelvin?
Yeah, it's just surprising, exciting and scary at the same time. But yeah, we've had some great feedback from people since we announced we're planning to go weekly. And yeah, there's lots of big ideas and plans that we've got coming up for going weekly, really. So the plan is, rather than have sort of longer podcasts, we're going to have, you know, a number of shorter, about sort of 20-minute podcasts.
That's right.
On sort of individual topics. So the topics themselves are kind of quite punchy, quite collective. And then if you're listening on the train, you know, you can get it all in one commute, or if you're listening in the car or whatever it is, it's kind of nice and compact.
That's right. And we're going to do it on a four-week cycle, aren't we, with news and tools, which is what we're doing today.
Yes.
Oh, I bent my pen. How did I do that? News and tools, then an interview.
Yes.
And then a Q&A, and then a sort of a how-to, and then sort of back to news and tools again.
Yeah, because when we did the survey, which is still up if anyone wants to fill it in and give us any feedback in that way at internet, you know, www.internetmarketingpodcast.org/survey.
And you do need the www, don't you?
Yes, yeah, it should. Well, it can work without, but there was a bit of an oversight on someone's part.
A little
part
bit of an oversight, yes. I discovered that last week as well.
Yeah. I won't shoot the guy in the office who should have done that, but yeah. So basically, if you go to www.internetmarketingpodcast.org/survey, there's a survey there. And we asked people about what bits of the show they enjoyed most. And one thing that we wanted to try and do a bit more of is kind of some hands-on how-to guides. So we'll do one of those in a couple of weeks, but we also wanted to do some news and tools, which always seems to go down very well. The interviews, which are always very popular, and then some kind of Q&A as well, because, you know, it's good to try and answer people's questions.
Okay, excellent. Now, just a little bit of other news.
Yes.
Getting in touch with us. Am I right in thinking that we're going to be setting up a phone number from next week?
I think? As of the next week's show, we should have the phone number live, so you can leave your Q&As via voice. But if you want to send them via email, because you're a little bit, you know, shy about that, you still can. So you can drop me an email at kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. So that's K-E-L-V-I-N for Kelvin. Or, of course, we always like to hear feedback via Twitter. So if you use Twitter at all and use the hashtag IMPC, you can then, you know, we'll pick that up and we'll respond to you. So, yeah, there's kind of three, hopefully quite easy ways to get in touch and give us your feedback or ask any questions that you've got.
Fantastic. Now, do we need to mention this secret screencast? Did you just allude to it earlier? Did you want to expand on that?
Yeah, in the last episode, we've decided, you know, once a month or so, we'll try and give away a little bit of an Easter egg, you know, like you're getting DVDs, a little bit of a secret special for regular listeners to the show. And we make it a little bit harder to get because we kind of want to keep it, you know, quite a nice small crowd of people listening to it. Mm-hmm. So we've had quite a few people come through on that. And if anyone wants to hear any more about this month's secret screencast, which is particularly how to do well on SlideShare, they can drop me an email or, again, on any of those methods we've already mentioned to get in touch there. So, and I can send that through to you there, which will show you how to promote your business via SlideShare, which is a site I rate really, really highly.
Okay, right. Now, did we cover the survey? You mentioned that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Excellent, you did cover that. Excellent. I need to stay awake. Right, the main show elements then today. What's this about WordPress supporting PubHub, SubBub? Now, I get confused because I get PubHub, SubBub mixed up with SubHub.
Yeah, SubHub's a guy.
The owner of whom we interviewed a while ago.
Yeah, we interviewed Miles from SubHub, which is a subscription website a couple of months ago. Yeah, and PubHub, SubHub, I think that's how you say it.
Who made up that name?
I don't know. I think it is short for various things. But basically, WordPress PubHub Subhub is kind of a technology not unlike RSS. But with RSS, what happens is, and there's a great example of this on the WordPress site that they did a little video about this, but the way that most of the internet works is it visits your server and it says, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And then, you know, constantly asking for updates. But what PubSubHub does effectively is reverse that. So it's kind of a, you know, you tell the search engines when to come back when you've got new technology. When you've got a new update. So like for WordPress, rather than, you know, Google having to come and check your RSS feed, you then tell them when it's ready. And what this means is that for anyone who's spidering that content, whether it be Twitter, you know, Google or whatever, they can get the updates really, really quickly, which is, you know, potentially really, really valuable. So they showed an update on the thing there where they published a... So if you ever publish a blog post and use something like, you know, any of the tools to publish on Twitter, it can take a couple of hours to percolate through the system. And what this does, and it is instantaneous. You know, you hit publish on your website and it's there on Twitter straight away. So WordPress building this into their system is going to mean that anyone who's got a website that runs WordPress is going to have this built there under the hood, ready to go, which if all the websites that publish content did this, it would make the web so much quicker.
But I mean, I'm trying to get my head around this. Let me get this. Make sure I've got this absolutely right, because I still am a programmer.
Yeah.
And to me, it looks a bit like the observer pattern. Now, those of you who are total hardcore programming geeks will know what I'm on about. But the observer pattern, it basically pings it when something happens to something, it tells all the other things that are interested in it something has happened. Is that I got that right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So almost, it's like everyone, you know, anything that needs to get your content becomes a fan.
Yes.
And then whenever they've become that fan, whenever you update, it sends it to them automatically. So it's like RSS, but super powered.
It's like more pushy. It pushes it out quicker. So you get a quicker sort of turnaround.
Great. So an interesting one there. So anyone who's using WordPress, keep updating your WordPress software, because it helps avoid getting hacked. But also you get all these... Each time they go through a major update, you get some quite nice functionality that they build into the system. And, you know, we're huge fans of WordPress here on the podcast.
But,
I can't, you know, all these new technologies just make it even better. And I don't know why anyone would use any other blogging software most of the time.
Is there a specific URL we can point people to for this? Or is it just general sort of Googling sub-bub-bub?
Yeah, if people Google that, they will no doubt find out about this. But I'll add to the show notes, and I'll make a note here so I don't forget, the video that WordPress put out that explains it all.
As Kelvin writes with his pen on a piece of paper, it's all very high technology in this show. What's this about HTML5 killing Flash?
Well,
an iPad to blame.
Yeah, that's kind of my headline that I put here on my notes to keep track of it. But there was a lot of fuss when the Apple iPad was launched that, again, despite this being more of a proper web browsing device than the iPhone, Apple are still not going with Flash.
Yeah, sure.
And part of that seems to be to do with the money. Maybe some of it's a bit of a kind of trying to do Flash over a little bit. I'm not too sure as to the reasons why. But when you... you know, spend your cash on your expensive new iPad, you're not going to be able to access any site that's built exclusively in Flash. Even YouTube is sort of switching over to HTML5 as the solution to that kind of thing. So what I would say is Flash, if I was a Flash developer, it's an interesting time for you, really, because HTML5 won't do everything Flash can do. It isn't as good. But if everyone supports HTML5 rather than Flash... It's you know, a little bit scary to be a Flash developer, I would have thought, at the moment. And the iPad, yes, it might not sell that many, but you can be pretty sure that a lot of people are going to be copying that as a device, as it were. So if you can make your system run quicker by not including Flash or not supporting Flash, then how do websites work that are dependent on Flash?
There's a lot of theories, aren't there, as to why Apple is doing this. What's your line of thinking, Kelvin?
Well, I mean...
getting very controversial here.
Yeah, I mean, we're quite big Apple fanboys, aren't we? Me, you.
Well, yeah, we are. I mean, I've got an Apple Mac just sitting next to me now, and so, Apple bits and bobs all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one of those people who, you know, worship the ground that they walk on and think that everything they're doing is, you know, saintly. I'm pretty sure that there is some kind of ulterior motive here going on, and I think... some people have suggested it's to do with the costs of Flash and that kind of thing, whereas I think it's really just Flash is something that, if you bear in mind the people behind Flash and some of the other programs they run, other programs that Apple produce are in direct competition with those kind of technologies there. So maybe there's a little bit of, you know, Photoshop, you know, when you're looking at Audition versus some of the audio software that Apple produce, maybe that's not the primary reason, but I'm sure the people in the different teams there won't be upset that Apple are giving, you know, Flash a little bit of a kick in the in the nuts.
Are we allowed to say that on this podcast? Yes, we are. Of course we're allowed to say that. Google Web, best of, get my teeth back in. Google Webmaster Tools give access to other email addresses. What's all this about?
Yeah, so if you use Google Analytics, one of the things that makes it really, really useful is you can give access to lots of different people with a Google profile. So if they've got a Gmail account, you can say, hey, Andy, you can look at the, you know, the traffic we've got for our website here. But there's two tools that Google provide which are really, really invaluable that they don't have this flexibility to grant access to different people. So the first one is FeedBurner. And, you know, we've had a few issues with that where if you've set it up in one account, you then can't give access to anyone else unless you give them the username and password. And if you've got 20 different, you know, feeds all set up in one account,
as I have,
it's a pain. And it was the same with Webmaster Tools as well, which is the...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
How do you put on your site to tell Google, I own this website, give me all your secrets you have about me?
Yeah.
And that, again, was one where if we set it up on behalf of a client in our general account, we couldn't give that password to the client because they would see all the ones that were taking place. So so the downside to that was that you either had to have hundreds of different accounts, or you had to, you know, have it central, but then not let everyone access it. So what they've done on Webmaster Tools is now allow you, so I can set it up under my group account and then give each client access to Webmaster Tools as well.
Yeah.
So they can see, you know, what pages of their site Google are indexing, but pages don't exist, what pages of their site have the most internal links, allows you to specify what country you're in, and all kinds of great things that they do in Webmaster Tools.
Okay, sounds pretty good. It will be very useful, actually, to be able to share FeedBurner, individual FeedBurner feeds.
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't done that, really, because you can do it in Analytics, you can do it in AdWords, you can now do it in Webmaster Tools, and, you know, FeedBurner is a... I wonder whether it is the reason they're not going to they've not done that is because they're going to integrate FeedBurner and Google Analytics.
Are they?
So I don't know. That's okay, what, yeah, I've not heard that. But right. I think that would be brilliant, wouldn't it, if you had your feed data straight there in Analytics. It was all auto-tagged, so you could see who from your feed went to where and all these kind of things. And you can do that with some nice workarounds, but it would be great if that just was there in Analytics all in one place.
Can I just apologise to our listeners? That was my phone ringing. I'm not going to edit it out. Who needs to edit? I'm not going to edit it out.
I'm just now going to check that mine's on silent. it is.
Okay, number four, opensiteexplorer.org. What's happening here?
Yeah, basically, there is a bit of a worry in the SEO world because one of the things we do a lot of is where you look at the links of your site or a competitor's site to see who's linking to. And the one that we tend to normally recommend for this is Yahoo Site Explorer. And that's a great tool that gives you who's linking to a website. But the problem is, as a lot of you will already know, that Yahoo and MSN are in the process of merging their search engines.
Okay.
So Yahoo Search, as is, will no longer exist anymore, which, to be honest, for most people isn't a huge shame, because it'd be better that there's a decent competitor for Google rather than two kind of struggling ones who are just fighting amongst themselves and then letting Google run away with all the money. Mm. So that's good. You know, I'm generally quite positive about that. But the bad thing is that it's Yahoo that's giving way, and Yahoo have this great tool that gives you all this data about who's linking to you. And if Yahoo stop running their search engine, suddenly this tool probably won't exist anymore. There's been no official communication about that. So cleverly, the guys from SEOmoz have created a tool which is intended to be a nice sort of replica of Yahoo Site Explorer called Open Site Explorer.
Okay.
You can find it, opensiteexplorer.org. It's a nice little free tool which upsells you to their super duper Linkscape tool, which is, you know, really, really brilliant, but overkill for most people. So it's got the benefit that it will probably be around for longer than Yahoo Site Explorer, but also it's really beautiful how it presents things. So if you put in your competitors' websites, it'll give you who's their most valuable links, and it gives you some nice scores out of 10 for how valuable the domains are that are linking to them, how valuable the pages are, and just generally make things look, you know, quite nice and quite pretty, which is a nice change from a lot of web tools which are functional but pretty ugly.
Yeah. Right, can I be a little bit controversial here, because I've got a piece of news as well.
I
think it's very important. We're not normally political on this podcast, but unfortunately there are times when you have to get a little bit political. There's some I just wanted to draw people's attention to it. There's some very, very worrying legislation going through Parliament right now in the UK. Mm-hmm. Called the Digital Economy Bill.
Yeah.
And I think Kelvin's nodding and saying, yes, so you know about this as well.
Yeah,
people need to be aware of it.
Yeah, I'm by no means an expert on it, but I know that generally it doesn't appear to be a very good thing.
No, and to be specific, I just want to direct you to, let's perhaps start off by just telling you a couple of the areas that are causing concern, not amongst the general population, this is what the problem is, but certainly amongst people, geeks like us, that use the internet, internet marketers especially, that using the internet to market it, and certainly companies that are thinking of using the internet to do anything really. There are things like you might be sort of banned from the internet, I think for life, if you're even suspected of downloading, copyrighted content. Mm-hmm. There's things like sites being blocked. They're looking at individual IP addresses. Of course, we all know, that an IP address doesn't match to one person.
No.
And the wrong person might be blocked from the internet. It's all not very good. I would urge people, certainly in the UK, I know a lot of our listeners are in the US, and I think you've got your own laws which are concerning you. Is ACTA one of these things? I'm not quite sure. AC?
Yeah, no, there's lots of these laws being brought in around the world. And
yeah,
what I would say is, yeah, have a look at what's being introduced, because a lot of the time the people who are introducing these laws just don't understand the net. And whether they'll ever be enforced, I don't know, but it's still not
a good thing
to have that law there as precedent, is it?
Yeah, to cut a long story short, the general worry is that the internet is ceasing to become a level playing field, and it seems to be being very biased towards big businesses that can now threaten people with legal action, so therefore we may be seeing things like the demise of open Wi-Fis around the city and things like that, because people will just be too scared of being prosecuted because someone in their cafe with free Wi-Fi was downloading something they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But I would urge people to take a look at the bill. It's the Digital Economy Bill. Take a look at the openrights.org, openrightsgroup.org, because they're against it. But just be aware of it. Write to your MP, write a letter to your newspaper. Try and do something, because it is being rushed through. They're probably going to try and make it law before the next general election. So some worrying news there, but I think it has to be explored. It has to be aired, I think, because not a lot of people seem to be aware of it.
No. And I mean, it's one of these things that I've heard a lot about, but to be honest, I've never really followed up as much as I should do. And I think it's one of these ones where it could have a huge impact. So it's worth taking the time to have a little bit of a look into it and see if it's something you disagree with. And if you do disagree with it, making your voice heard, because if you don't make your voice heard, you can't complain if it goes through.
Okay, moving on, closing off now. We've mentioned how to get in touch, haven't we?
So drop us an email on, you can email me at kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com or via Twitter using the hashtag IMPC.
And we will hopefully have that the phone number in place next time.
Yep.
Also, I would strongly urge people, do go to www. www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, which will redirect you to the site visibility blog. Do leave comments there, because we're very keen on sort of starting conversations with listeners.
I mean, the last episode where we interviewed the guys from Skimlinks, there's, you know, I think that we have about 10-15 comments there that we've had there, with people asking questions to and fro about how you can use that system, whether it works in the iGaming sector. And then a few people from Skimlinks have come in and answered questions there as well. So if you've got any views on some of the things we've talked about here today, yeah, come through to the blog and leave a comment there. And, you know, ask us questions, because now that we've gone to this weekly format, we're going to once a month turn over to you, the listeners, and answer your questions about what you want to find out.
So coming up in next week's episode, we have an interview with Rob Walling of micropreneur.com, and he will be telling us about the site where you can be sort of helped and encouraged to produce your sort of online subscription services and online sort of products. So that's coming up next week. Any more news from newcomer?
Just another one to say, I know lots of people listen to the show. If you subscribe in iTunes or to the RSS feed on the blog, you can get updated whenever we do a new show. So if you visit to listen to the podcast, that's great. And, you know, cheers for doing that. But if you subscribe, you'll be able to get those updates as soon as they go out.
Brilliant. So we'll see you next Thursday on Internet Marketing. Thanks very much. Bye. Andy again here, just a quick update that I've added at the end of the podcast. We are planning to update the RSS feed to the feed generated by the new WordPress blog, which might mean a few duplicates appearing in your iTunes feed. So just bear with us on that. Hopefully it won't be too horrendous. And that will be happening probably in about 10 days or so. So just a quick heads up. I can say goodbye again. Goodbye. See you next time. Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Now, we would really like to hear from you, so if you have any questions or comments, send them to info@ai-digital.com, and feel free to send in MP3 files as well, and we'll play them. If you're a subscriber, we'd like to thank you for your valuable time. If you haven't subscribed yet and you'd like this show delivered to your earbuds automatically, you can find Internet Marketing on iTunes. Just search under the Business and Marketing and Management categories. Or you can find us at Feedburner at feeds.feedburner.com/academyim. We'd also encourage you to leave comments on iTunes. Well, this is Andy White signing off, wishing you the best until we see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.